A sinkhole has appeared on the White House lawn, apparently the physical manifestation of what's been happening under the White House since 12:01 p.m. on January 20th, 2017.
President Trump is looking into using military bases to house undocumented minors separated from his parents, separated from their parents, though he will not promise not to turn the whole thing into a beauty pageant. President Trump says the U.S. is moving forward with plans for a June 12th summit with Kim Jong-un. Forgot the punchline. By that, he means they've already thrown the shower and cut the denuclearization reveal cake.
And finally, earlier today, President Trump told reporters that the meeting with Kim Jong-un might not happen in June. When asked when it might be rescheduled, the president responded, "How should I know? Ask Putin." The Trump Report starts now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Ah, yes, welcome to the Trump Report. Donald Trump, international man of mystery, or possibly misery. I don't know. It depends on who you ask. But a fun opportunity for a fun song here. Welcome to the Trump Report, as I said. We are here, the full complement. Unfortunately, Brooke Solis will not be able to be with us today because she's honeymooning in Barbados with Chip Chipperson. We really made a real love connection last week.
She did she might be in Vegas. Is that where they're getting married?
You know, I think that they must have just gone to Vegas just for one of those quickie chapel weddings, and they're already on the honeymoon. Yeah. So we're happy for Brooke, and we're happier for Chip.
Congratulations.
So absolutely. But I'm Christian Black.
Deep sarcasm. I'm not sure what this is referencing, but
this is what happens when you hike the Grand Canyon instead of hang out with Chip Chipperson on the Trump Report. Anyway, joined us almost
always. Quite majestic.
He's lovely. Chelsea Galicia, say
hello. Hi.
And Tamara Brown returned from, where did you hike?
The Grand Canyon.
I'm not familiar.
14 and a half hours, north rim to south rim. Thank you very much.
Never heard
That's
of that.
Impressive.
I don't know where that is.
Yeah. I think I saw a movie about the Grand Canyon once, so that sounds like about the same thing. And Scott Moore!
Hello. Hello, everyone.
And there's not going to be much going on at the decision desk for the primaries today because it is the middle of the afternoon on the West Coast. Right. But you said that polls in Georgia
polls
are closed.
Have closed in Kentucky and
really
Georgia.
Sorry, I spoke while you were speaking. We don't really get much exit polling anymore because they don't trust them, I think.
Right.
Because I think that when you say to somebody, "Hey, can you tell us how you voted today?"
Yeah.
I think they don't usually tell the truth. Is
well,
what it really comes down
what
to.
What we learned in 2016. But also, compared to California, which does the jungle primary where basically anyone can vote and you can have two Democrats in the same race afterwards. And these states, the four states that are up today, they're split with Democrat and Republican. So you're going to still end up with... You know, there's going to be some interesting thing. Who's going to be the gubernatorial candidates in Georgia on the Republican and Democratic side and things like that. But it's not going to be as exciting of thinking, oh, there's going to be two Republicans in there. There's going to be two Democrats like we tend to get here in California. So I don't think there'll be any big surprises. But it'll be interesting to see what the turnout is and what happens.
Well, we'll talk about it next
week. Turnout is probably going to be the most fascinating part for me.
It's true. And what I love about turnout is it always depends on what's the weather like that day. If it's raining, that's people true. Are like, especially something like this, like, I'm not going to vote.
Right.
Not if it's raining.
For a primary, you get the hardcore people that are going out to vote in primaries, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, like I said, we'll check on that next week. And so let's move on to President Trump saying that North Korea, the meeting might be delayed, as we mentioned in the top of the show. And he says that, you know, China might be to blame, that he doesn't know if China's responsible, but they might be responsible. We'll start at the other end of the desk. Scott, your reaction to this. Are you surprised that this meeting of the minds might be falling apart?
I know, like, who would have thought something like that? What about that poor commemorative coin they've already had and the Nobel Peace Prize that he's expecting to win?
I did order the Chinette set, the dining set, and I've only gotten the Trump plate. I don't have any of the other ones yet, but hopefully it's still
my commemorative coin must be lost in the mail.
It's fine.
Apparently. Yeah, no surprises here. I think the whole thing was hastily put together, and like we said before, Mike Pompeo even was confirmed as Secretary of State. We don't even have the people in place, the ambassadors in place, and people that have been doing this for years, and it's a very difficult situation because you have North Korea, who, of course, has ties to China, and it's going to be a very difficult thing to think that first of all, that Trump's going to walk in the room and North Korea is going to just denuclearize. I mean, that's never going to happen. So I think already from there, we know that the terms are going to be just very difficult. And it's not a surprise at all. And I would be actually more surprised if it does end up happening, just because it's never happened before. So I mean, I'd be more surprised if it did.
You could blame China, or you could blame the fact that people started mentioning Gaddafi and remember what happened to that guy. And Kim Jong-un was like, oh.
Well, John Bolton. Yeah, you could blame John Bolton, basically.
And Pence, too,
referencing
that.
He has, but Bolton was the one that started that.
I think maybe this is not such a good idea, because what happened to him is he ended up being killed in a ditch or shot by his own people while hiding in a ditch or something. So that doesn't seem like the way that he wants to go down. And
seems like it's not worth it to hide in the ditch if somebody's going to shoot you. I mean, just like be standing somewhere nice. Now, Tamara, my understanding is that President Trump has already put the down payment on the meeting room in Singapore. Do you have any ideas for things that they should probably do with that room, since they're maybe not going to need it?
Down payment? I thought it was being held at Trump Tower, Singapore, anyway.
Well, I didn't know there was a Trump. I think that's the Taj Mahal Tower. It was one of those ones where they had signs left from previously closed Trump properties, and they just slapped it on the building. So that would actually make a lot of sense. I don't know. I guess that I feel like if this doesn't happen, it's because it was never going to happen, and Kim Jong-un had no intention of it. I don't think China was like, you don't want to meet with that guy. I feel like you can't really get into Kim Jong-un's ear and, you know, change his mind. You know, if he wants to meet with Trump, he's going to do it. I don't think China's going to, unless there's a financial consideration or something like that. That stuff always happens. But I don't know. I don't see much about it. But
even if this was the first time where, let's say, Kim Jong-un really was going to consider some sort of deal of completely of denuclearization. I have such a hard time with that word.
Yeah, it's hard.
With the pomp and circumstance that Trump announces that this is all his doing, I mean, I feel like that would make anybody change their, be like, yeah, I'm not giving you credit for this, you know? It would, I feel like, should any decision that Kim Jong-un made to some kind of compromise, the way that it was handled by Trump, I would walk it back too.
Right.
I don't understand how anybody could put any faith or credibility in a man who takes credit for everything and responsibility for nothing.
Nothing.
Why did you look at me when you said that? I don't take credit for anything, and I don't take responsibility for anything either.
At least
I'm very
consistent.
Very consistent. Thank you.
Yeah. So that's the part that blows me away, is that if you want to take credit, okay, fine, but also take responsibility. And same thing for Trump supporters who are like, oh, you need to give him credit for something. Mm-hmm. Well, I think credit is balanced with responsibility. So when I see him take responsibility for something, maybe credit will be then more forthcoming.
Exactly.
But until then, it feels completely out of whack.
In the chat, R. Scott Brown says they should just flip a coin to figure out if the summit is going to take place. And I think Scott has a coin that they could flip, the commemorative coin from the summit. That's what you flip. I don't know what the heads is. I don't know what the tail is. That's something for somebody else to find out. Lady Goth adds that it will be a weighted coin, but one of those ones where you know which one's going to go. Anyway, we appreciate everybody being in the chat. And we got a lot of comments on our last episode, but we don't have time to read those.
There's so many.
So there were a couple of good ones. Anyway, since we're speaking about China, let's talk about how there's this ongoing trade dispute that's been going on with China. And it seems like everybody's kind of decided, like, you know what, let's just press pause. Let's put that on the back burner.
I make a deal.
Well, that's what
the best
deal
ever.
Funny you say that, because I was going to say, Chelsea, what do you think that's about? Why do you think that the dispute is not being discussed in public anymore? What do you think's going on? Is it possibly political dealings behind the scenes?
Yes, probably Scott can help me with the details better. But is China funding a Trump project in like Indonesia? Did I get that right? So. Yeah. There's that kind of stuff. And that is so enraging that, you know, what Trump decides to do with the country depends on his personal stake in, you know, whether he's going to get rich off of something or not. And that's the kind of thing that makes me, when I heard today somebody talk, oh, if, you know, Democrats take over, impeachment. Before, I was like, guys, get over it with this impeachment thing. Like, it's not going to happen. But stuff like this makes me think, oh, wait, let's talk about impeachment again. Because that is not kosher. It is against the law. The president's not supposed to be deciding things based on what's going to be good for his net worth. I was going to say, like, who even knows what that really is. But it's pretty freaking shady, if you ask me. I would like to hear if somebody has an idea as to why that is going to be why it is probably not has anything to do with his finances, why Trump just all of a sudden had this change of heart with China and wants to go softer on them, or, oh, let's figure something else out. So, and then being super nice about this ZTE company that was stealing IP. They were told, knock that ish off. And they were like, okay. And then they didn't. And then so then we said, all right, well, we're not doing business with you anymore. And now Trump's like, oh, we feel so bad for them.
We've got to give them jobs.
Jobs. So,
yeah.
WTF.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Tamara, maybe you agree with this. Don't you find it refreshing that a president is making decisions based on how it will impact his own personal gain as opposed to just waiting to see how it influences popular opinion? I mean, at least he's getting something about it instead
it's
of just...
It's about time Trump got a leg up.
I'm tired of presidency being a popularity contest. Mm-hmm. It's fairly well documented that, you know, maybe Trump isn't as rich as people thought he was or as he thought he was. So this is a great opportunity for him finally to make good. And maybe he can, you know, I know his father's passed. He could pay back that $1 million that he gave him, though. So I don't know. That's one way to look at it. You know, the topic of impeachment came up, and this is always something that we check with Scott. Where are we at in the impeachment clock at the moment? It seems like it's stalled a little bit.
It
hasn't really moved one way or the other. It hasn't gone back.
Why do we not have some sort of visual aid for the impeachment countdown yet? For the Trump Report impeachment countdown yet?
Before, I was like, oh, come on. This is not really going to happen. It would be fun, but it's not really going to happen. But then when I hear stuff like this, this is an impeachable offense. And the other emoluments, you know.
There's too many to actually count if we were really to go through all
of the ones that
I
had been hearing are kind of like, minor, that's.
But if we go back to what Bill Clinton was impeached for, then you start thinking, yes, there are some legitimate impeachable things that Donald Trump has been doing.
Right,
for
because
sure.
The only, was he was impeached for lying to the American public. Well, geez.
Under oath, yeah.
Under oath. Mm-hmm. What, if anything, and actually this is a good question, I don't think, has Trump lied to the American people under oath?
Well, that's the thing, that he hasn't been,
he hasn't been under oath yet since he's president.
So when he has to go.
So when Donald Trump's citizen lied under oath, that's a definitely a different story.
But there's no real hard and fast rule for impeachment either. So that's kind of left up to Congress. So you could impeach a president for basically anything you wanted
to begin with. You know, they impeached Clinton for something silly. Now we're going to impeach Trump for something silly. Is that really good for us? I think a
lot of people would say lying under oath about whether or not you had sexual relations with a woman is not just something silly. I mean, he didn't get impeached because he did it. He got impeached because he lied about it. Because, you know, obviously he'd spent most of his adult life lying about the women he slept with. So he's just so accustomed to it that he just figured that there'd be no consequences. So I think it's significant. And I think if President Trump does the same thing, all of the people who were, you know, shepherding the idea that President Clinton should have been impeached should certainly agree that President Trump should be impeached for the same reason.
But if we look at history, it didn't make Clinton less popular. In fact, it made him more popular.
Right, because it was about the scandal, and people were like, we don't care what he does. And it's the same thing with Donald Trump. They don't really care that he has affairs and cheated and everything else.
He is definitely more popular today than he was on Election Day. I mean, the polling will show that. It's not huge numbers, but he is definitely more popular. He's not more popular with people who already didn't like him. He's not really winning people over.
Wait. Hold on. He's more popular as in there are more people that like him, or his popularity amongst the people who voted for him is more intensely great?
Either way, he's more popular.
Yeah, his approval rating.
But they still get only one vote each, and that's the one that I want to know. Is it these are the same people who have always been the Trump supporters who voted for him are still fans, but they've just doubled down, which, fine, when you've made a bad selection, some people can't admit it and they just have to double down, which is, I think, what happens. But is what you're telling me that there are actually more Trump supporters now than there are than there were on election
I think
day.
It doesn't matter because they don't need to vote for him right now. I think to the extent of what you're saying is sure. I think we've all known a man or a woman who has that loser boyfriend or girlfriend that they just won't break up with no matter what. And there are definitely Trump supporters like that. Look, there are people who follow the Democratic Party the same way. You know, and they're just like, no, everything they say is fine, even when it's like, well, you know, this policy is really bad for you individually. So I think you have Trump supporters that are like that. But at the same time, I think people who maybe didn't vote and just were like, oh, I don't like either of them, I think that you're having some of those that are like, okay, he's not as bad as they told me he was going to be. We've been told that World War III would have started several times right now. I believe our friend Drexel has posted that he's expected it to happen a few times. So I think you have people that are just like, oh, people are just going on and on about it so much. And if their life's not that bad, they probably like, I don't have a problem with him. And maybe it's just the indifference.
Those kinds of people, sorry if you're one of them, bug the crap out of me. If this doesn't impact me negatively, I think that's what's wrong with America. People who say, if this doesn't impact me, I don't care. I like the guy. That is the worst of us. And also, you don't know that because most of the things that happen in politics now aren't going to affect you for like, I don't know, 18 months or so. So that's silly, if I might say
so
myself.
His approval rating had been going down. So is it going up now?
Yes, it's ticked up just a little bit.
Not a lot, no. But it's, you know.
Ticked up to 41%?
Basically, okay, and so there might be people that are enjoying their, you know, $1,000 bonus and their little raise.
I think that's it. It's the people who have been benefiting from the tax plan or feel that they've got more money back this 2017 taxes than they have before.
Or people who feel safer now that the wall is built.
And yes, feel like now that the wall's done.
Okay, but here's the thing. Wait a minute until prices go up because there's less competition, because companies have consolidated, companies have bought back their shares. So when prices go up and competition goes down, and, you know, we had a major consequence with Neil Gorsuch. You know, there was a case that came down, the one with that trucker in the freezing cold, and he would have died had he listened to his employer, and he didn't. And they went up to the Supreme Court, and lo and behold, the holding was he should have died, or he couldn't save his life. Basically, the ruling said that employers can enforce their arbitration clauses, which make it very difficult for employees to get together and sue an employer.
Right.
So this, it's, you know, if it's not affecting you yet, it is going to, in either your rights, the cost of living, and if you don't care about other people,
boo on you. Well, and the only thing I'll say is that two parts is the impeachment part is, you know, it doesn't even mean if he lies or not under oath. It's going to be the cover up is probably going to be worse than his actual crime. So if there's obstruction there, other things come out and Republicans feel that he's going to be a risk to drag him down, that's where you get enough, like a dozen Republicans or so on the Senate side that would vote in favor of impeaching him and he'd be removed from office.
But I think most of those that don't like him are not running again, so they're going to be out by midterms.
But I mean, it just depends on how the Senate makeup is after. I'm talking about after, like in 2019. Oh, it wouldn't happen this year. They're not going to do it when they're all running. And then the second part is I think the approval ratings for Trump will also sink depending where the economy is. And right now, he's still riding on this economy that's been going. It's the second longest since World War II. So we know at some point in the expansion that it's not going to last forever. And if it does start to dip, those people that are on the fringes of supporting him are definitely going to fall by the wayside. And that's where you're going to see a lot of weakness come in. That's where people are going to stop putting up with his BS, so to speak, and not want to deal with it anymore. And so you're going to lose those fringe people. And at that point, he already has such a small group. And he won by such a small margin through three states that he threaded through that it would be nearly impossible for him to be able to win re-election at that point if the economy is not doing well.
And apparently,
is the unemployment rate going to go back up? I mean, I know Republicans are always talking about this is the lowest unemployment rate we've had in five years. This is the – or, I mean – not just 5 years, however long
it's
been.
Yeah, since 73, basically. Well, since Nixon, since the last president who was left office early.
And then...
Oh, how convenient.
See, history really does repeat itself.
Yeah. As much as when Trump brings up that unemployment is the lowest of all time amongst minorities, and, you know, he loves to mention, slide that into whatever speech he can. So I think that's what Republicans are grasping onto, and people who may be on the fence of supporting him. That's what they're hearing. That combined with, you know, they saw a little bit more come back in their paycheck. So they're like,
yeah, it's the economy right now that's keeping him afloat. But once that goes away, that's the last bit of his major support. I mean, that's what's kept him going as long as he has.
It's the oft repeated line from the 1992 presidential election. It's the economy, stupid, but it really was the economy. And because if you think back to, you know, late in 1991, President George H.W. Bush was very popular, and I think that you know, he's certainly more popular in hindsight. But at that point, at that moment, it was just the economy went so bad so quickly. You know, it's funny because I remember there was a sketch on Saturday Night Live in the fall of 1991, and it was like a roundtable show, and it was all these Democrats like Paul Tsongas, and I don't even think Bill Clinton was on there. It was just all these actors on the show playing him, and the title of the show was trying to figure out who's going to lose to Bush, because he was so popular. I mean, you know, that was when people could really get behind a war. You know, that war was when, and then it's so quickly. And you know, I mean, obviously President Obama certainly was able to, I don't mean capitalize in the way that, you know, he actively did anything. It's just like that's where people went. They were like, we need something different because the economy is not good.
Right.
And if the economy stays about the same, I don't think you're going to see people really change their mind one way or the other on President Trump.
No.
I think where we're at right now is, you know, going to be where we stay. And it'll just be interesting to see. And whether or not, obviously, they're voting to give a full term to President Pence at that point, as Scott would expect. Or, I don't know, President John Bolton. I don't know if maybe everybody's going.
Everyone's out.
Yeah.
But I think also we don't really have the landslide-type victories anymore like we used to with presidents, where people would cross over and really vote for the person rather than the candidate. You still see that at the state level. A lot of times governors, you'll see a Democratic governor win in a very red state and vice versa, like Charlie Baker, Republican in Massachusetts. But you don't see that. Chris Christie in New Jersey. But you don't really see that in the national level, because now we're so partisan that we barely eke by. I mean, you could say Obama had a sort of a landslide victory in 2008, but even then, compared to what you saw with Reagan in the 80s and even George H.W. Bush in 88, and you go back to Nixon and Johnson in the 60s and Eisenhower and Roosevelt, you don't really see these huge landslide victories anymore where you're getting 40, 45 states with one person anymore, because we're all very divided now and into our camps. And so regardless of what happens, even if everything was great,
divided,
they're still not going to vote
the
Trump. We are. We're
now that's a phrase we'll probably hear in the impending future. You know,
yes, exactly.
As you talked about all that, it just made me so sad for poor Walter Mondale, you know, with his four electoral votes or whatever it was. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, in 84, yeah.
Anyway, you know, so we're talking about impeachment, and Representative Al Green says, no, not let's stay together. Thank you, I'm very proud of that. Says that Democrats will impeach President Trump if they retake the House. Now, obviously, impeaching the president doesn't necessarily mean that they're not president anymore, as we saw with President Clinton. I will ask you first, Chelsea, do you think if Democrats do take the House, which there's no guarantee that they will, do you think that they will actually make the move of impeaching President Trump, or only if they feel like he'll actually be removed from office?
Yeah, I definitely think that they're going to have to calculate, and they're going to be taking it into consideration whether they think that there are sufficient number of votes in the Senate to actually oust him. And I don't think they will unless they're pretty confident that they have the numbers. And I don't think that they will have the numbers. So I think that we should just continue to point out where he's batshit and crazy. We can
swear again. Yeah. There was a point where, you know, we had a swear jar,
so
and
better.
Everybody had to put money into it.
And I want him out, voted out. Impeachment would kind of has this little bit of like wrong kind of fun feeling to it. Like I would rather him be voted out.
You mean
impeached.
To vote it out in 2020? You want to wait it out. You want more President Trump. You want him to be president until January 20th, 2021.
No, here's actually what I think might happen. If Democrats can get their stuff together and take over.
That's a big if.
Take over the House or the Senate. I do not think Trump wants to be a lame duck president, and he will start cutting deals with Democrats because he wants more than anything is credit for
and
making
feel
things
popular
happen
and liked.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So he is going to. There's going to be legislation passed. I believe if Trump stays and the Democrats take over, probably maybe more so than if Republicans maintain control, because they haven't really gotten all that much passed. Yes, the tax bill was a big deal, but in terms of at bats, like how many attempts they had at different, you know, bills and repeals and things of that nature, they didn't get all that much done. I don't at all like what he's doing with the, well, let me say, don't like at all pulling back regulations, but I do think some regulations need to be reconsidered. I don't think we can just keep adding them on and on and on and on. It just makes things pretty complicated, but I think many of them are useful, especially if they have anything to do with the environment. So, yeah, we should take a look at those. I don't like how he's just plucking them all away and really just undoing anything that Obama did.
Which means the next person will be undoing everything Trump did, if they're
right.
Democrat.
So we can see that if it's this simple to undo,
yeah, it's going
to
happen again.
The stuff that worries me more is about like the disintegration mm-hmm. of like the EPA or these departments from sort of the inside out, and wondering about how quickly they can be rebuilt mm-hmm. once they have good leadership back in there. But because I kind of want to see Trump have to almost placate the Democrats, because it's the only way he's going to get anything done and therefore admired and any credit, might be interesting to see him stay.
I go back and forth. I'm like, one day I'm like, I want to see him hauled away and completely humiliated, and the other day I want to see him just lose re-election badly and have to sit there for the next 2 months.
I don't think he would win re-election if he's right. going to even run.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think he would run if he didn't think he was going to win.
That's our next topic, actually. Thank you, Chelsea. Roger Stone says that he mm-hmm. thinks Trump might not run.
I should have given you my Roger Stone picture for the segment.
You got your picture taken with Roger Stone. You can tweet it out. People can find it at Chelsea Galicia.
I would rather no. I think if you
tweet it, Chelsea, and ask her to post it, she will.
It was going to be only like something that I was going to allow to be like flashed on the screen for a split second, because I wouldn't want anybody to think that I was like a fan. This was just like a silly moment. He was walking by at Politicon and just, you know, he too, like Trump, is just so desperate for admiration that it was very easy to take a picture.
If you want to send it for next week, please, we'll share it then. So, Tamara, do you think that there are set of circumstances that make the most sense for President Trump to still be in office? I'm sorry, impeachment clock. But to still be in office and then decide, you know what? I had a good run. I've been the most successful president in the history of the country. I don't need to run again.
Do I think he will decide not to run again?
Correct.
It's so hard to say, because I feel like one rally with a big chanting crowd encouraging him to run will make him, you know, that's all it takes. It's so easy to just mold him to do what you want to do just by praise, you know? Democrats should rally and just encourage
run.
That's the interesting thing, though, because if he were to hold an event where he was going to announce that he wasn't going to run for president, maybe just seeing all the people and the crowd, he'd be like, oh, I can't step away from all this. You know, it depend on how big a venue he's making the announcement. And he's like, oh, there's a lot of people here. I wonder if they'll...
He's like, there's a million people in this venue, and the biggest ever.
Scott, where do you come down as to whether... We've said a lot on this show.
Right.
You know, that if he gets convinced by somebody that he trusts that he just has no chance of winning, mm-hmm. is that really the only scenario?
Well, I've said it on here before, and I do believe that if things go south, let's say the economy does, and the investigations continue on and there's things going on and he hasn't been impeached, or maybe he's been impeached in the House but not the Senate, and he's now a wounded person in office here, and he doesn't think he's going to win, I think he would much rather step back, blame the deep state, the rigged elections, everything else, and then he can be a martyr to his supporters. And then if Pence doesn't go on to win, or whoever's running in 20 can say, see, I would have won if it wasn't for all these X, Y, and Z reasons. Mm-hmm. It's their fault. I tried, you know, then he can look like
unfortunately,
the martyr.
That's
yeah,
probably
so
most likely.
I think with just that, without getting too much in his head, because I don't want to.
I think you just read from the narcissist playbook.
Right, so I do believe that's what he would do if it came down to it, and I've said that before, and I will stand by that, that if he doesn't think he's going to win, he would rather walk away and blame somebody else than lose, because yeah. then he will look horrible.
Can I just say that I was like this close to being like, oh, wow, go Trump. Can I tell you my moment this
well,
week?
Well, I think you're going to have to. You can't not explain that.
I know.
When
that's
he goes confusing. And you say, I'm going to get drug prices down. And in his campaign, he'd said he was going to bring mm-hmm. drug prices down. Okay. And so then he actually started talking about it. And I was like, oh. And then he did the weaselly thing of not going after the single largest cause of the reason why drug prices are out of control. And just had these ideas to kind of skirt around and cut out the middleman. No, the actual top man is a huge part of the reason, and the top man not allowing Medicaid or Medicare to negotiate drug prices, that's the reason they're so out of control high. But his plan has nothing to do with eliminating the blocks to allowing for negotiation. Right. And so then it was like womp womp all over again. And so listen, this is just for people who are, why can't you give Trump any credit? I was ready to. I was about to. My mind was mm-hmm. like, oh, maybe this is it. And then no.
You were trying. You did
trying.
Your best.
That's more than I was able to do because I knew who his health and human services secretary is. That's you know, worked for Big Pharma. I was like, there's no way that's ever going to happen.
I know. I thought maybe, but yeah. I of course my hopes didn't get up that high. Like when he said, you know, I'm going to do something about gun control, and if the NRA doesn't like it, oh well, I'll just do it anyway. It was going to be maybe one of those moments. But then, of course, has anything happened to any of those ideas that he had before mm-hmm. we had yet another mm-hmm. shooting? Has he even said anything about it? I don't remember reading anything about his response.
Well, it's hard to know if he said anything because the media was way too wrapped up with the royal wedding to give a shit about a school shooting.
Oh, I disagree.
Well, you can disagree all you want, but they knew where the real ratings were, and that story definitely, you know, you're hearing a little bit more about it now, but that's not really what was being covered on Friday. And I'm not saying that it was the only thing they talked about, but yeah, ratings were very high for the royal wedding, so they knew what they were doing. I mean,
the
look,
royal
don't forget
was it's at like 4 a.m, right?
Yeah, but they've reshown it many times, and there's a lot of analysis. And you know, look, that's what they did. They spent a lot of time on it. I mean, I think that they were so invested in the royal wedding that MSNBC didn't show prison documentaries over the weekend. That's
yes,
how
that's
invested
how,
they
right.
were. They were like, hold on the prison documentaries. We got something to actually cover.
That's why President Trump didn't respond.
No.
To
I'm
the
saying
Santa
we. I don't
he
know
did.
If he did
he
because
tweeted,
I don't know if it was covered. That's
tweeted.
The thing is, it wasn't on the news. If he
no,
did,
no, yeah, it's
so
wasn't enough.
You feel like he tweeted something, so he acknowledged it, and it doesn't say, you know, this tweet sent from the golf course or anything. Mm-hmm. It just he just tweets it. I wanted to catch up on a couple things in the chat. We were talking about whether or not President Trump would run. Lawrence Falk II says, "Run, Forrest, run!" with a lot of emojis, and I like when people use emojis, but you can't really see them. And the Demonaut says impeachment talk is just a distraction so the Democrats don't have to talk about policy. Same old Democrats. No message again.
No, we're multitaskers. We can talk impeachment and policy.
Well, unlike the Republicans who don't seem to have
anything.
I mean,
I didn't say that, but maybe, yeah. I mean, can't we? In this same show, we've mm-hmm. talked both about impeachment and policy. Why has it got to be either or? It's not black or white, on or off. There's multiple things that we can talk about.
Well, the Demonaut also says, I think the next president will be a left-leaning Democrat. I think recession happens under Trump. Mm-hmm. Then Democratic wins presidency. Unfortunately, I'm reading this verbatim, and there, you know, there's some typos in here, but we love you anyway, Demonaut. Wins mm-hmm. Democrats win presidency and make things worse and collapse the economy again. I mean, cyclical.
Wait, what do you mean collapse the economy again? Just, I would like to.
I don't think
hear
he means
why.
That Democrats do it again. I think he just means that Democrats done
well,
before.
I mean,
yeah,
here's a little history lesson. The economy goes up and down. It's what it does. It's like a roller coaster.
And
it's designed that way.
And also, yes, there's always cycles like anything else. But if you look at the long range pictures, believe it or not, the economy has done, the Dow Jones has done better under Democrats than Republicans. And you could say it's a coincidence or not, but if you look across through the years, that is just the case.
But here is what I say.
And
about
Democrats having to clean up the mess from Republicans from 8 years. And, it's the same thing in the 90s.
That's true. Budget. But here's what I don't understand about people. Do people really expect, and do you not let me know if you, that you expect the economy to go up and up and up into infinity forever and beyond and not have any downturns? The only thing in life that goes up and up, increases with no downturn, downturn or like sleep time.
I mean, is President Trump's ego? Thank you.
Ooh, but very close second. Yeah. Is like cancer. That's the only thing that keeps growing and growing and growing and growing. Everything else has cycles. I mean, we have sleep cycles and moon cycles and seasons and all sorts of things. That's how. And since the economy is based on the way that people operate, the economy has to have cycles in it too.
Right. And the only other thing I'll add is I think people put too much emphasis on a president with the credit of an economy, because there's so many other things that go on. So I think that's both Republicans and Democrats, that depending on there are other things that are happening, and that a president gets too much.
It's so much bigger than one
credit
person.
Credit for that, yeah. On both sides. But you're right. I mean, it's going to go down. It's just, when is that going to happen? We're already in the second largest, like we said, since World War II of expansion. And at some point, it's going to slow down. And at some point, it's going to go down. And we already have interest rates near record lows. So there's not going to be the remedies and medicine to be able to fix it this time if we have another.
Oh, yeah. They have to go up. They're going to go at least up one or two more times this year.
They have to, because we have no way of going back down when the inevitable cycle goes down.
Well, we've got 9 minutes left. And the topic that I saved for the end of the show is comments from the Texas Lieutenant Governor, who blamed abortions and violent video games for school shootings, but not guns. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of ways you can go right there. And I think you can certainly blame violent video games for things if you like. You can blame anything for anything. You can blame Bugs Bunny cartoons if you feel like that's important. That Elmer Fudd had a gun. Look, there's a lot of things you can do. It's just when you're an elected official, you should probably know better. But, I mean, again, it's Texas, so I don't know. I feel like maybe in Texas you can get away with a statement like that.
How are abortions causing?
That is my question.
I mean, I understand what she says makes no sense at all, but how is she even rationalizing that? I mean, if anything, wouldn't an abortion potentially prevent a school shooting? I don't, like, how is that?
Well, I will explain the comment, but obviously not defend it. So he said, we have 50 million abortions. We have families that are broken apart, no fathers at home. We have incredible, heinous violence as a video game, 2 hours a day in front of their eyes. And we stand here and we wonder why this happens to certain students. Let me ask a very crass question. Isn't a couple more likely to stay together if there's an abortion? They're saying that fathers are gone. So, you know, there's no fathers. But if they don't want a kid, I mean, there's a lot of, and it's, believe me, it's not something you should really make light of, Michelle Wolf. But at the same time, it's the idea that broken families happen because of abortion. I feel like just families are prevented. You know, you don't actually have the family because you decide to do that.
You don't have missing fathers if you have.
Yeah, he's going to probably stick around a little longer.
This is not me trying to even promote abortion. I want to promote free birth control for all, preferably IUDs for all.
Right. Family planning.
I'm sorry, but I was just thinking about how glad I am that Chip wasn't here when you said that, because I just know how Chip would react. But anyway, please continue.
Why? What would he have said?
I'm not Chip, so I can't speak for the man.
That's a bummer. So
fuck yeah.
I heard a conservative radio host say that the
did
most
you listen by accident?
This is me trying to get a balance, trying to understand. And she was saying that the most dangerous person is a young man who doesn't fear an older man, generally like a father or an uncle.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant doesn't fear turning into an older man. I honestly didn't
know.
I was sorry.
Okay, yeah, and I'm with you.
So, I mean, if I had to find anything to agree with in that statement, it would be absent fathers, because unless apparently, and I mean, I can kind of make sense. I don't know if there's any study to support this, but it just makes sense to me that a man without a father, I guess some kind of good moral, ethical father. I mean, I guess this guy's father was in his life, but could have been teaching him to do something of this nature. I don't know.
His father said that he was being bullied. So, you know,
but didn't help him.
Perhaps he feels like he was doing what he should. You know, I have no idea, but he was there in the picture. So it's not even an example that makes sense from the Texas.
So there
Lieutenant
I go.
Governor's
I tried
point.
To agree, but it doesn't even make sense. So
no, I wanted
therefore,
to make sure
I have zero to agree.
I wanted
with
to make sure
statement.
That you didn't agree with a guy who blamed a school shooting on abortion. Tamara, what were you about to say?
Well, all I've been noticing, and I've been out of service for the past week, so I'm
because
only
because you're physically fit and go outdoors.
In, because I was in the Grand Canyon,
and you don't watch TV all day like all of us.
You do not get Fox News in the Grand Canyon.
No,
but
so sad.
Don't say that because I think Rupert Murdoch and Trump might figure out a way to matter of time. It's like projected
Fox
onto the cliff.
News everywhere for free.
There's
anywhere
a ticker
you're at.
Just down the Colorado River.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, no. 24-hour ticker. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing, though, the degree to which the headlines are all sort of not victim-blaming, but pointing to this kid was denied by the girl that he liked, and that's what spurred this rampage was, you know, that's the what happens when a boy is stood up by the popular girl or something
oh
like gosh. That.
A like, guy that cannot handle rejection is not a man.
No. And we talked about the incels and some of the other things that have happened with those groups
but
and those men.
There's also the comments from the girl to, I believe it was maybe only to her parents, that she was convinced that this guy was going to hurt her.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I don't know where those concerns were aired. Was it at school? And then, you know, how did they handle that? I'm not quite sure on that part. But
I all of a sudden feel the need to make sure that I clarify myself, because if somebody pulled that clip where I just said a guy who can't be rejected is not a man, pulls that without the context
right.
of Tamara's
yeah.
statement before about the specific girl, then that could be very ugly. Kind of like the they're animals comment, which on this one, do you remember
yeah.
early last
mm-hmm.
week was
mm-hmm.
that Trump
calling immigrants animals?
Yeah. Well, and the whole thing about, well, actually the comment right before that was related to MS-13
mm-hmm.
and that's what
so
he
was calling MS-13 animals.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So Trump
right.
just calling people animals, that sounds like fake news. Did you just defend the president against fake news?
I don't want to use the term fake news. Because
I don't want to use the word
because,
defend.
Because by the way, it's all fake news. But anyway,
but on that one, listen. He says enough outrageous,
things,
offensive,
yeah.
silly things that we don't need to like even slightly manufacture them. And that one was one mm-hmm. where people may not have been fully paying attention. And in fact, actually, I was insulted not for Trump but for animals. Because
right, I was like, I was thinking about the animals. Animals are better than yes, exactly.
And
they're better than most people.
Yes, so that's my two cents on the animals situation.
Yeah.
Yes,
but,
Scott.
No, the only thing I was going to say about the Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, because we were talking, he also had another controversial statement about there should only be one way in and out of schools, which of course you can't really do because of fire safety and everything else, but. Clearly, yes, you could say there are a lot of issues, like you were saying earlier. It could be too much violence and people get desensitized. And yes, there's definitely mental health issues that need to be addressed. But the bottom line is we do have a gun problem in this country. We have an obsession with guns that's not seen anywhere else on this planet that still has mental health issues and other things that go on. We're the only country that has the gun violence to the level that we do, which clearly means we have a gun problem. And you do not go out in rampages and with knives or any other things that people love to throw out there as other issues in the same capacity that you have with a gun. And guns are not made for any other purpose but to hurt, maim, or kill. Knives have other purposes. Cars have other purposes that are their main reasons. A gun's main purpose is to hunt, to hurt, and to kill. So to say we have or make excuses for anything else, the bottom line is we have a gun problem. We need to address mental health on one track, and we need to address our obsession with guns on another track.
I mean, look, I'll show you how I can shoot a tuna salad sandwich in half instead of using a knife. But I guess in general, your points are valid. Our final comment, Chelsea, since you seem to have something.
Yeah, I was going to say, I used to think it was ridiculous when people blamed gun violence on violent movies mm-hmm. involving guns and and video games. And now, I don't know if, am I getting old for saying this? But I think that it actually might have something to do with it, because the gun obsession is the, you know, kind of the way that they're presented in movies and TV.
It does spawn a hero complex.
It does, and it does desensitize you from
So I'm going to turn around and say that, you know, I don't, none of us are in the business of making movies or even your TV with nothing.
I'm like adjacent.
I'm still working on my screenplay, right? I'll be done soon. One day.
But that we just no longer really support guns being used in movies the way they have, as some that give into this hero complex. And that's what I think the responsibility that I guess we here at, in Hollywood can kind of take. Can you imagine how much money is going to be lost if there's movies made without all these guns and blowing stuff up? But I think it's a price that we should pay.
That's go ahead.
The next president should run on the campaign of replace all guns with lightsabers.
Look, sign me up for that one.
That president gets my vote.
Mine too. I'm like, done.
The final thought to the final thought is really the idea that the video games, so many of them are those first person shooter video games, so at least makes you think about what it is. Right. I wanted to give credit to our engineer Marissa, who made a wonderful graphic for the International Man of Misery / Mystery, but I think Misery is more fitting, and there he is.
It's amazing.
It's groovy, baby. Anyway, so thank you, Marissa, and thanks to everybody in the chat, and we will be back next Tuesday at 4 Pacific, and you can find us then. In the meantime, you can follow the show at Trump Report ABTV, and you can follow me at Christian DMZ. Chelsea, where do people find you?
At Chelsea Glacia.
Tamara.
Hey, Tamara.
And you can find me at SMan80.
And like I said, we'll see you next week. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.